The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of the ESPN SC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Shaka Hislop. Oh, we've missed international football, Shaka. What a brilliant, what a brilliant day of domestic action. We'll kick things off in the Premier League. Best game, no doubt about it. Well, unless you're a United fan, maybe. Leicester taking on at Manchester United. So many talking points, so many brilliant goals. But in the end, it's Brendan Rodgers' side that beat United by 4-2. But for more on that, let's welcome in, shall we, Frank Leboeuf, Jana Agafyortov, and Don Hutchinson is with us. Don, I want to start with you. You commentated this game. What a great match it was. Leicester thoroughly deserving of the victory.
They were absolutely sensational. The first half was close to being 50-50, but the second half, they absolutely bossed it, Leicester. I mean, Man United, they couldn't cope. They got outplayed. They got outfought. There was no energy. All their big players didn't turn up. Ronaldo was anonymous. Sancho playing out of position, hardly had a kick. Paul Pogba couldn't do it on his own. Bruno Fernandes was well marshalled. He never got a kick in the game neither. So it was a team, i.e. a Leicester team, that played against the Harlem Globetrotters. And that's what this Man United side are now. They're Globetrotters because what Ole's Gunnar Solskjaer's building, he's building individual brilliance. And that's what they are. They can turn it on at any given time. But when you come up against a team like Leicester today, Leicester dismantled Man United in the second half. They got totally bossed.
It's interesting, Shaq, when you take a look at that starting 11, there is so much quality.
There is
on
a
the
lot. There's a lot of quality.
But none of them are anywhere near fulfilling their potential.
Well, and that raises a lot of questions around Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, as it does around the individuals. I spoke about Harry Maguire. He is supposedly England's best centre back. Some of his positioning, some of his decision making.
He wasn't fit, though, was he, Shaq? Clearly. Yeah, like Solskjaer said afterwards, I should, you know.
Yes, but still. I mean, you look at the first goal and it was farcical. It really was. I do feel for Jadon Sancho. The first I realised that Jadon Sancho was on the park is when he was being dragged off.
Yep.
Offered absolutely nothing. And for all the talent on display, yes, they have injuries. Yes, there's still no Varane. I thought Lindelof did well enough. But you just wonder, where do goals come from? Where are Manchester United going to better teams? Other than the brilliance of Greenwood for the first or that Lindelof pass for the second, Manchester United did not offer anything at all. The amazing thing for me is you know exactly what you're getting from Leicester. They're going to press high. They're going to play with pace. Yes, Manchester United seem to get caught out on the ball more times than not. And that for me was probably the most surprising aspect, that Leicester seemed to catch Manchester United by surprise when they've been doing this for the last 4 or 5 seasons.
No, exactly. No one expects it from Leicester. Meanwhile, from Manchester United, Frank, it felt like almost every time Leicester went forward, they were going to score. Such was the softness of that United defence.
Yes, that was the case, but I want to blame Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I mean, when you have your captain, your skipper, not feeling off, you know, only in training one session and put in defense, you know, expecting him to be the leader, expecting him to be strong enough, you're wrong. And you put him in a dangerous situation. You put your team and your club in a dangerous situation. Harry Maguire wasn't ready, and he showed it to the world, you know, that he wasn't ready. He shouldn't have played. I mean, you can play Lindelof, who did well. I think he was maybe the only Manchester United player who did well this afternoon. Well, I don't know where Bailly. Bailly is injured, or he could play. So if he could have played, you know, he could have gone. He could have been at his place, because that was a nightmare. That was a nightmare for everybody. That was a nightmare for De Gea, who did what he could do. But Harry Maguire was nowhere near it because he wasn't fit enough. But There is, yesterday I was in the show and I was talking about Paris Saint-Germain and the amount of talent that they have, but that they are individuals, that it seem, they don't seem to work together, that tactically they don't work together. That's the case for Manchester United. You have the talents, you have, of course, the individuals, but you don't have a squad, you don't have a team. What do they do together? It's like they don't know each other, they don't know what to do when they have the ball, they don't, the other, they don't know what to do when they don't have the ball. It's a big mess.
This result, of course, wasn't an anomaly. Let's just remind you of what their run of form has been like over the last month or so. And United have been labouring. We've seen these sort of results time and time again, of course, struggling once again this time round. And Jan, this is something everybody's saying. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer pretty much has peaked. That is it. They're talking about parallels with Frank Lampard and how Chelsea were brave, made that change. Look what happened to them. It's time for United to do the same.
I think the biggest criticism you can say, and to sum up what the boys are saying, is that there is no chance to see what they want to do on the pitch, what they try to do. I mean, we can say it are bad or good. You can see a coach coming out with a system failing. When you see Manchester United this season, you can't see what they try to do. There is no pattern, there is no philosophy behind it. That is just based on individuals. I've also said all along, and if Craig Burley was in studio, I would have said this was the first loss away from home for 29 games away from home. But I won't say that because Craig is not there. But having said that, I've said also all along that I don't think that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer will be fired by Manchester United. I think that he will be fired by his surroundings, by the pressure. And you see that now people are getting their knives out and going after him. Because resource like this, I mean, they're losing games for fun now. And not for fun, for bad for Manchester United fans. And when you see them doing what they're doing at the moment, and then you have a look to the odds. Julian Nagelsmann, you will never get him.
Yeah.
You will never get Pochettino. Brendan Rodgers will probably stay put, as he said when Newcastle's job was up. But I think that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is seen as the perfect manager for that project. And already tonight, the English journalist who you know will have people they talk to, is saying they're back in 100%.
Yeah.
But as Manchester United manager Ron Atkinson said once, when he was told that the board was behind him, he said, "I would rather have them in front of me." So Ole Gunnar should be careful.
This is the thing, isn't it? We've heard this before. Mark Ogden's been on Gab as well, talking about the fact, Don, that the board like Solskjaer because he's safe. You know what you're going to get with him. He's not going to upset the apple cart like a Van Gaal, like a Jose Mourinho. But the problem is now, is as Jan mentioned, the fans are starting to turn. They realise now that maybe a change is necessary. As much as money he has in the bank with regards to the greatness and 99 and all of that, it's starting to prove that he's out of his depth.
I think that's fair. I still side with Jan, though. I think the feeling, what I'm reading in the British press, is he's not really under too much pressure.
John, if you were in charge, would you get rid of him?
I would, because I think Antonio Conte should be the next manager. I think where you've got to look at it is Ole going to take Man U to a title this season? Well, I think that's highly unlikely. If someone like Antonio Conte comes in, I think he more or less guarantees Man United fans a title within a couple of years. That's what he does. That's his remit.
Yeah, Don, they won't take Conte because they will. The American owners and the management of Manchester United, they will look at their project and then they will see who is the best one to kind of manage that project. And that's why they see Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. So yeah, I know. And then they won't go the whole way around because Conte, that is a new Van Gaal, that is a new Mourinho.
I agree with what you're saying, but Dan asked me what I think should happen.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm with you. I look at Man United and I see the owners and I see the hierarchy. I don't think he's in any danger. But I think if Man United really want to put down a marker and win the Premier League, I think they stand more chance of winning it with Antonio Conte than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Here's the thing. I agree. I think Manchester United's board want to back Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. They don't want to be forced into making a decision. He ticks so many boxes for them. The good side, the positive spin on this is that United are just 3 points behind City. Make what you like of that. The other side to that very same coin is United sit in fifth. There are three clubs, Everton, West Ham, Spurs, within 3 points and a game in hand on Manchester United. So barring goal difference, we could be talking about Manchester United or being even sitting somewhere around eighth or ninth. Now, is that the question that Manchester United's board wants answered? Is that what will force them to pull the trigger? Because as of right now, while they keep seeing things through rose tinted glasses, I think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is safe. To your point about Harry Maguire and about the manager, if Harry Maguire is injured, then you take him off. You don't play for 90 minutes and then offer him up as a post-game excuse right. as to why you were that bad. This, for me, just continues to show the failings of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, which the board seemingly are happy to go with.
Can we just put those fixtures up again? Because the problem that Solskjaer's got, we mentioned this before, mm-hmm. is these upcoming matches right after the Man City game. You've got no respite. Atalanta, Champions League, Liverpool, Spurs, Atalanta then once again, and then Manchester City. And Frank, the problem is now is that this is all going to snowball more and more, isn't it? Because it's difficult to see. Even if you go and beat Atalanta on Wednesday, you've then got Liverpool. You lose to them, then the pressure's on. You're away against Spurs, away then against Atalanta, and then, of course, the Manchester derby. It's very difficult to see where or which match is going to prove to be the parachute for Solskjaer to stop this freefall.
I think they resent. I think, as you say, it's a snowball, and once they lose, it can be the end of it. I mean, everybody's going to be fed up if they don't do well in the Champions League or they don't do well in the PL or whatever which competition is going to be. They want to see something special, you know. They want to see a reaction. They're going through a marathon of big games. Mm. And if they don't get the result that the fans are expecting, that's the end of it. It has to stop because that's not Manchester United. The majority of fans are expecting from Manchester United, so they will have to take a decision. I don't know what the project is. I don't know. I don't see any project. The only project I can see for Manchester United is winning the Premier League and winning the Champions League. That's the only project. And what they do now is just, you know, just living in a good area, you know, finishing second, third, fourth. That's not Manchester United.
Jan, if you were in charge, do you sack Oli? Oh, what a good time for the connection. There it is.
No. I think that in the times of ownerships, we're talking about all the owners and all that, who owns the football club. I think what you will realize is that when you get into the theater of dreams with Manchester United, if the fans turn against you, they are the real shareholder of a club. And that's what I mean. If they start voting in the stadium by booing and shouting the Ole out, then that is going to be tough for them because they know Ole is the big legend of the club. Then he's finished.
Would you sack him, Jan?
No, I would never sack a Norwegian. No. Of course not.
No.
I like where Jan's coming from there, Dan, when he's saying about Man United being 3 points behind. And you put that graphic up there of Man United's next six or seven fixtures. Man United fans would snap your hands off to be only 3 points behind after those fixtures because it could be 9 or 10.
Don, is there an issue with Ronaldo?
I don't really think it's a Ronaldo problem. I think it's bigger than that, Dan. I think it is. I mean, I didn't see him today. He was anonymous, but you can't just go off one game. I think, you know, what the boys are talking about is you're not really seeing a plan. You know, when Ronaldo played for Real Madrid, he had Benzema alongside him. When he played for Juve, he had Morata alongside him. I see Ole putting a team out where he's gone, well, we'll put Bruno in the 10 position and we'll put Ronaldo as a 9 and Greenwood and Sancho and one or two other players like Pogba, and they'll win us games. I don't think there's any plan.
That's the main problem, Dan. That's exactly what you're saying. That's the main problem. You know, when you see Manchester City playing, when you see Chelsea playing, when you see Bayern Munich playing, you see a tactic, you see a thought, you see an idea of the way you want to play. There is an identity of playing. I don't see anything from Manchester United right now. They used to, don't have anymore.
I think there is a definition of how good is a coach. It's not titles are one thing, but I will always say that a definition of a good coach is how you improve your players. Yeah. You may say that Greenwood, he has improved very well, but we'll take another one. Now, when they got Jadon Sancho, he was at Dortmund. He hasn't arrived at Manchester United.
No.
And I think that he's a symbol of getting into a system where it's not functioning. I mean, he loved to play in Dortmund because he knew what to do. He came inside out. When he came to Manchester United, he's just running around and I have no idea what to do. And that is nothing. He hasn't changed his talent. He hasn't changed his dribbling abilities. But that is where you see that you miss that kind of system.
But you wouldn't fire him,
That's the lack of plan. That's the lack of plan.
That's it. We spent a lot of time. Sorry, Dom. We're going to move on because we spent a lot of time on United. Obviously, Leicester very much deserving of the win. We'll kick things off in the Premier League, of course, on Saturday. Liverpool thrashing Watford by 5-0. It's strange, isn't it? Firmino got a hat-trick.
Yeah.
But once again, it's Salah who is getting pretty much all the headlines because of that goal. And what a goal it was, Shane.
Well, not just the goal, but the pass for the Sadio Mane opener, I thought was another thing of beauty. But this goal again, and we'll talk about it, and we'll draw comparisons to his previous effort against Manchester City. This is video game stuff. When you pick the ball up in this kind of crowd, that little drag bag there to lose the defender, and then you go line, and you this drag here, that's playground stuff. And then you put two defenders down, and you do that. This is you would think, beyond football at the highest level. In the last generation, the only two players we've seen that done with any kind of consistency we all know about and we've spoken about time and time again, yet Mo Salah is now doing it on a weekly basis, or so it seems, against some of the best in world football. It is absolutely scary, the form he's in right now.
Frank, how do you defend against something like that?
Well, you don't tackle like the defender, the last defender did, that's for sure. Especially that you know he's a lefty, so you know that even if he shoots, you might have the chance to see him missing it. But you normally feel that he's going to go back on his left foot. But after that, before that, what he does is a five-a-side game where some people are so... fantastic, in a little space, finding their own space.
Yeah.
What he does right now with the three players, absolutely fantastic. After, that's more a mistake from the defender. But what he does right now is crazy. And he did it against the game before.
City,
when he scored that beautiful goal as well. Yeah, against City. So he's special. He's really special right now.
Jan, which goal was better?
Well, it's been for a while.
Say that again, Dan.
Which goal was better, the City one or the one on Saturday?
I like this one. I mean, there is everything in there. I agree with Frank. Will the defender think that he is a lefty or a righty? In the form Salah is now, he will probably do the same thing with the right foot. But there is something in and around him at the moment, his charisma, the way he presents himself on the pitch. Good timing for his performance now that he's dealing with a new deal. Fantastic.
Oh, look at cynical Jan.
I didn't say that. Timing is very good.
We can read between the lines.
Don, you've been reluctant to say that Salah's even a top 10 player. Does today's performance change your mind?
No, mate. I've been saying for a good couple of months now he's the best in the world, and I've had people on social media saying, don't forget about Benzema, don't forget about Lewandowski, and they're right. But I just think Mo Salah is what you want to watch as a player. You get him in now and you give him that new contract and you give him whatever he wants, because over those seasons, his numbers and performances have been absolutely scary. I mean, he single-handedly really last season got Liverpool into the Champions League. Without Mo Salah, Liverpool would have been nowhere near the Champions League spots. And the goals that he's scoring, the Man City goal, the one today, the way he sits Cathcart down at the end, he's at his very highest level now. And that's pretty scary where...
Well, I don't agree with you. I don't agree. I have to stop you, Don. You cannot say that without Salah, they wouldn't be there. The only man for me who made the difference is Van Dijk. He came back and Liverpool is back to their best.
Last season, Salah was there.
Mane were there. Mane were there, and Van Dijk wasn't
last
there.
Season.
Van Dijk was
there. But the player that dragged them into the Champions League spots was Mo Salah.
The guy who makes the difference for Liverpool is Van Dijk. The year they won the Premier League, Frank. And last year...
you're not listening to what I'm saying, Frank.
Yes,
Frank,
I'm doing.
Injured, and Mo Salah dragged them to the top four.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, whatever you want to say. No, that's not. Mo Salah didn't have a good season last season. Right. He didn't have a good season last season, like right. Liverpool in general.
Okay, I want to move on this because I want to talk about Brentford against Chelsea. Chilwell's goal just before half-time proving to be the difference between the two sides. But really, anyone who saw this match will be struck at how good Edouard Mendy is and how key he is to this Chelsea side if they're going to go on and win the title.
I think he's grown to be the best goalkeeper in the league.
Really? Edison, yes. Alisson?
Without question. I think where Edison has the better of Mendy is with the ball at his feet and specifically with his passing range. Mendy doesn't have the passing range of Edison. But all-around goalkeeping, I think Mendy is better than Edison is now. I think Mendy is miles better than he was this time last season. And that's a scary thought if he continues on that trajectory. He really has been that good. He looks, of everybody in the league, I don't think anybody looks calmer under pressure than Edouard Mendy. And oftentimes, when you are under pressure, that's what you're looking for. And I simply cannot sing his praises highly enough. I thought he, again, was outstanding.
As a defender, it must be a dream to have someone like that behind you, Frank.
Oh, yes. I had that chance with Fabian Barthez with the national team. And club-wise, you know, I play with fantastic goalkeepers, but Edouard Mendy is simply, the best of the world. And I agree with Xhaka. And I'm very pleased because you know how much I hate the Ballon d'Or. And you all know that he's not in the 30s names.
Thank
you very much. Well done, guys. You've done your job fantastically. Yeah. You didn't put Edouard Mendy in your bloody list. So, yes. Chelsea really has to say thank you to Edouard Mendy today.
Yeah, definitely.
He was absolutely fantastic.
Definitely. Brentford, a great addition to the Premier League. Don, fantastic atmosphere there. Good game, as we saw really throughout the Premier League on Saturday. Any concerns that Chelsea were so close to throwing away points in this tie?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, they didn't play well a couple of weeks back against Southampton, but they got over the line. The only concern slightly is you can take it in a good way or a bad way. Lukaku's not really firing, but at the same time, the amount of clean sheets they've got, you know, they're winning games. And I think that's the difference. I'll always bow to Xhaka's knowledge when we're talking about goalkeepers.
Wow.
He is amazing. If Kepa was in goal today, no disrespect to Kepa, but Brentford win that game 3 or 4-1. That's what happens when you have an elite goalkeeper, when your defences get breached and you've got a goalkeeper like Mendy who was pulling off 3 or 4 ridiculous saves in the end. Those are the types of people that you need that's going to get you close to a title.
Did you need Xhaka to tell you they were good saves, Don?
No, I was watching the game. They were just bombarding them. He was taking them in the chest. He was taking them in the face. It was like unbelievable.
Thank God Chelsea didn't spend a lot of money on Kepa then.
Bitter against Ole. You know that Kepa.
I like this Jan.
Oh my
I like
God.
This version
what?
Of Jan.
That's because he's in some motel room in Dortmund, stuck chatting to Hansman. Frank, do you want to say something important, or should we go to break?
Yes, very, very, very important because I want to have some words for Brentford. I mean, what I saw the last 30 minutes reminded me what I learned when I played for Chelsea in England, the spirit and the heart that some clubs with maybe less possibilities could give on the field. I went back like 20, 25 years ago where you are 11 against 11. It doesn't matter who do you play against. They played the European champion. And for 30 minutes, the European champion was stuck in their last 30 yards against Brentford. I want to congratulate Brentford, and you know how much I love Chelsea, but really, what they did today, they deserve, of course, much more than a loss, but they have all my credit because what they did and the coach, you know, that was absolutely fantastic. I was passionate about that game because of the way that Brentford the spirit that they took to try to reverse the result. That was absolutely fantastic. Well done, Brentford. Carry on because you made my day today.
Our producer just said to me, Frank, we should have gone to break.
Get him some protein. Get some some protein quick.
Dear, there will be more from the boy. Oh, no, let's show you on the table, shall we? Chelsea then top 1 point clear of Liverpool City. Third, who won against, who did they take? Burnley.
Burnley
2-0. Brighton, meanwhile, fourth. Manchester United, Shaka mentioned, down to fifth. The boys will be back on extra time to answer your tweets. Be sure, as always, to check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. So the Bundesliga, Borussia Dortmund with a 3-1 victory over Mainz. Erling Haaland with a brace here in this game and his return after a while out with injury. Jan Arge Fjordtoft is still with us. Jan, your boy once again stealing all the headlines.
Yeah, he did. He'd been out for like 5 games now when you include the national games, and it took him some while to get the rhythm, the balance in there, but then he got a penalty and he got better and better in the second half. Then he scored a penalty, and then there was some anxious minutes for Dortmund. They're always losing goals, easy goals, as they did today as well. But then Bellingham, as Xhaka saying, fantastic job there on the left side. And the thing with Erling is that everybody will have a look at that goal, the third goal for Dortmund. They will say it was an easy goal. It's not an easy goal. The way, the composure that he has, the balance that he has in his body, he's always doing the right thing. And it was quite interesting afterwards, because I talked to Dortmund. You can get Erling for an interview, but I knew that you have to catch him before I get into the dressing room. But when you meet him, you see that he is in his own world. He's in his own kind of tunnel. And when he went over, we started the interview, the crowd was still going ballistic, and he kind of was in his own mind, in his own mindset. And when you ask him, how do you do this? How do you do when a penalty is given in front of the yellow wall, 30,000, they're just shouting your name. And he just described the way that he goes into his own tunnel. He just gets the world outside away from him. He blocks everything out and he scores goals for fun. And you saw the stats. He got 70 goals in 68 wow. games for Dortmund. He is 21 years of age and he's getting better and better. It's frightening.
Where is he more popular, Jan? Norway or Dortmund?
Well, I think that in Germany, in general, there is a mania. What is all talking about him? The latest now is that Bayern Munich will go big for him. I've said that this week, and I understand, like they used to say, that we would have thought that they will first Bayern Munich, wait till what Lewandowski is doing. Mm. But I understand his opposite. They will go for Haaland, try to get him, and then see what Lewandowski will do. Do they have the money? Do they have the enough challenge for Team Haaland to go there? I doubt it, but they will be a serious contender if you're going to stay there. And I talked to Sebastian Kehl today. Borussia Dortmund desperate to keep him, and they do everything to talk him into staying for another year in Dortmund.
Let's just remind you then what that win for Dortmund does to the table. It puts them top momentarily, two clear of Bayern Munich against Bayer Leverkusen. It's those two teams who face off on Sunday. Bayer Leverkusen, of course, having a great season up to now, Jan. And for the sake of the Bundesliga, it'd be quite something if they could take points off Bayern on Sunday.
Well, the good thing about the result today is that you got them ahead of the both of them. And like you're saying, then we can have a battle there. It's going to be so typical. We're building this up to Bayern Munich lose two games in a row. They probably haven't done that since, I can use my phrase for Elvis Presley again, but I won't use it. But I haven't done that for many, many, many years. But Bayern Munich is so typical, they win 3-0 tomorrow in that top game. Having said that, I mean, this Leverkusen team, Seoane, who they took from Swiss football when he won three championships in a row, he's turned him into a great team to watch. I will recommend this game. I think it's going to be very entertaining. You have Florian Wirtz talking about young talents in there. A fantastic football player that you can entertain you. He score goals, he got assists, and he great balance in his game. And then he's playing against a Bayern Munich team that we do know with all their stars. This is going to be a great, great game.
Jan Arger Fjortoft, as always, and thank you very much. Just a reminder, if you haven't done so yet, be sure to go over to our YouTube page and subscribe. Plenty of videos there for you to enjoy. Tell you what, a couple of belters in Italy on Saturday. Let's focus first on Lazio against Inter. Very much a game of two halves. It'll be Inter who would take the lead early on in this one. Perisic with the penalty, but Lazio running away with things in the second half. Joe Mobley scoring from the spot to make it 1-1. Then late goals from Anderson and then Milinkovic-Savic. Some scenes after he scored. Lazio taking all 3 points coming from behind there. And it also saw Milan come from behind as well to get the victory in their time. They were 2-0 down going into the break, but 3 goals late in this one would see them beat Hellas Verona by 3-2. That maintains their position at the top of the table. Napoli, though, can leapfrog them to go back to top. Remember, Napoli so far 100% this season. Well, just a reminder, if you ever miss a show, you can download our daily podcast as well as the program. You've got plenty of bonus materials there as well. You can check that out over on the website.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Next weekend is the Clásico, Shaq.
It is, yes. Oh. You going to be here for that, Dan?
I won't be in studio for that, no. Shaq.
Oh,
I
will no. Be. Where will you be, Dan?
I'll be pitch side of the camera. What a life! Hey, stay tuned. Extra Time is next. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much for your tweet. Shaka Hissel with me in the studio. Don Hutchinson, meanwhile, here in his garage. And Jan in another generic hotel room. Is that right, Jan? You're in Dortmund?
Yeah, I've been in Dortmund, now just in Düsseldorf on my way home. So I am in my usual room where I spend all my time, more or less.
Oh, dear. All right, love it. Oh, no. Travel the world watching football. Poor Jan. Don, what is the percentage? We've had a lot of questions about this.
Every time Don's on, it's great.
What is the percentage chance Solskjaer will be Manchester United manager on January the 1st?
Will be Man United's manager on January the 1st. I will say 95%.
Wow, that's really high, Don.
I don't think they sack him. I don't.
Even Jan thinks it's too high.
Yeah, what about this run of games they've got, Don? It's really tough.
They are tough, but from what I'm reading, I think Jan might concur that I don't seem to think that Ollie's under that much pressure.
I think that I don't think he's under pressure from the board. I don't think he's under pressure from the owner because he's a perfect manager for their so-called project. That I'm not sure what the project is. Can't be to have a great football team looking like a football team. That's for sure. But again, the shareholders of that club are the fans, and if they start moving, this could go faster than we think.
Yeah. So what percent would you say?
96?
What percent, Jan?
Yeah, 96, Jan.
Why would he go higher, say, Don, when you just said...
I'm trying to suck him in, Dan.
Don, Don would have said 60-50, but I say 50-50.
What, you think 50-50? Yeah. 50-50, Jan.
Wow.
But well, things happening fast, because if you see that downfall now, if you see the last seven games, is it four they lost of them?
Yes.
And I mean, this goes quicker than we think. And that has nothing to do with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer being a club legend, a good guy, or their man. This thing happened quick. There are five games now. The last game is the Manchester Derby, the 6th of November. Then there is an international break. It's always dangerous international breaks for managers under pressure.
All right.
I'll tell you what.
All right, 94.
If Ronaldo publicly throws his toys out the pram, that can spell the end for Solskjaer.
A little strop today, didn't he?
Yeah, a little strop. And you just looking at his body language on the field, he's not looking happy.
Did you say Pogba's strop?
Where's your percentage?
My percentage is 60.
That he will be there?
That he will be manager. I think it's just over half.
Did you guys see Paul Pogba's strop today after the game?
Yeah, but nobody takes on Paul Pogba's shop. The difference, Ronaldo says that, I think it's a lot more damaging to Solskjaer.
Another stupid mistake. Yeah,
yeah. Well, we all know that, though.
More of the same. So, for all of you, let's go start with you, Jan. If Ollie gets sacked tomorrow, who would be a suitable replacement, Conte or Zizou?
I think that is an interesting question, but it's more like, what have they done before? They've tried everything. A copy of Sir Alex Ferguson, a guy from the outside who is mad, Van Gaal. Then a born winner, Mourinho, didn't work out. Then they wanted a one from the philosophy of Sir Alex Ferguson. Where are they going now? There is no chance that they will go from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to Conte. How is that like? Will they go for Zinedine Zidane, who is probably a bit like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer?
Yeah.
I'm not saying, but I still won a lot of Champions Leagues. I'm not taking that away from him. But I think that this is one of the main thing why they keep him, because I'm not sure about the replacement either.
Why would you have Conte over Zidane, Don?
Well, for a watch, I'd love to see Zizou in charge, because I think he'd make them into an exciting side. But I think if you want to get Man United to win the title, I think you stand more chance with Conte. I think it's what he does. His remit is he goes into clubs where they're nearly men and he gets them over the line. You know, I was joking last week about him going at Newcastle. Well, he'll go into Man United and tweak one or two things and buy one or two players. And he'll get them a hell of a lot closer than I think than Zizou would. But for a watch-wise, to see how it goes, Zidane would be pretty amazing.
Zidane, you feel, would be less likely to upset the apple cart.
Yeah, to Don's point, I don't think this Manchester United squad are nearly men. I think it's a talented squad.
Yes.
A talented squad, just without any real direction. I think Zidane comes in, he's a fantastic man and manager, showed that in a Real Madrid dressing room that included Cristiano Ronaldo and Varane, comes in and does something similar. Between the two, if I have to pick one between the two, I think Zidane.
It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, just put into context what it'd be like to have someone like Zinedine Zidane walk into that dressing room.
Well, it's also interesting that Varane and Cristiano Ronaldo have been there. And Cristiano Ronaldo would certainly talk to his man, Jorge Mendes, and say, who could we bring in? Yes. I think those kind of talks are, they are in the surroundings anyway. I think that Zinedine Zidane will come in there with a lot of respect and everything. But I think that Zinedine Zidane will also look at that team. How long will that take me to make that into a team? And he will ask himself, is that my main strength? Is my English good enough? Because you have to speak English as well, although Conte has tried that and succeeded without the English. So I think this is a hard one to guess.
It's weird, isn't it? It'll be interesting to see. Xhaka, despite the goals conceded today, has De Gea returned to a world-class level?
Yes.
Great save, wasn't it?
Yes. I put my hands up. I thought De Gea was well past his best.
How high do you put your hands, Shane?
As high as they can go, Dan.
That's high, isn't it?
That's very high. I said I thought De Gea was past his best. I thought in discussing the long-term goalkeeping position between him and Henderson, I thought you go with Henderson because while he wasn't yet at De Gea's level best, I thought he was improving and David De Gea has been regressing. And then all of a sudden this season happened. And David De Gea has been simply outstanding. I got
well
that
done.
Incredibly wrong.
Well done, Ole Gunnar, that you made him the best keeper in the world.
Yes. He's only focused on De Gea the whole time.
That is what we're saying. Yeah. Listen, when we do our analysis, this is a typical one. So we are talking about all the players not producing. Greenwood, check.
Yeah.
De Gea, check. But Maguire, now that's Ole Gunnar's fault.
Jan, you brought up on the show that Jadon Sancho has been a shadow of himself because he hasn't been coached properly by Ollie. You can't then turn the table.
De Gea had been fantastic, then was awful for three seasons, now having a good season.
There is something wrong with my line. I can't hear you. There's something wrong.
Hotel room.
Here we go. Now, Don triggered somewhat of a debate last week as to what is a half volley and a volley. He obviously produced a video with his beautiful twins to try and explain it all. Was the third goal from Vardy a volley or a half volley, Don?
That was a half volley.
Yeah.
Explain why.
That was a half volley. Well, as I showed in my Instagram or to the post I sent you, a volley is when the ball is in the air, either coming out the sky and you take it first time, or a volley is when the ball, and you don't really have to measure any sort of height or anything, but I would say in and around a hip area, that's a volley. Where a half volley, when you take it quite close to the ground, that's a half volley.
Yeah, but I have to come in there, Dan, because I was the second best volley player in the world after Mark Hughes in my prime. And when Wardy's today was an excellent example of how you are using your technique, because have a look at where he hits the ball.
Yeah.
That is on his shin pads, but still his technique and his balance and how he's working with his body makes it as a fantastic goal. And people have no clue. They will say this is luck. No, this is great technique. No.
Yeah, people.
Can I just say, hold on. Well, to Dan's question, or yes, how he teed it up, that it triggered a debate. It only triggered a debate in the Thomas household. Dan is the only person who can't seem to understand the difference between a volley and a half volley.
There's
no debate. It's only Dan.
Shaka,
okay, right.
My Twitter feed was going mental.
Yeah.
They were arguing with an ex-professional.
Also, do you think I go home and speak to Denise and say, do you know what I think a volley and a half volley is? Definitely not.
She'd punch you right in the face.
I have my suspicions. Dan,
what are you talking about?
Dan will go on. Say.
Go on, yeah.
No, I'm just thinking of your household when you come home to your wife and you say, how are you, love? I'm half or I'm full or I'm whatever.
Man.
What a marriage. Love you.
Yeah, man. She's Brazilian and she's always over the top full, I can tell you that. looking at it, Don, I suppose people compare it to tennis, half volley, volley, and then citing that.
Tennis, half volley, you've lost me there.
So obviously tennis is when you hit it on the full, yep, is a volley. When it bounces and then you hit it, that's a half volley.
Right, yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty simple when you're trying to explain what a half volley is. You take it when it fractionally hits the floor, half volley. When the ball is in the air, hip height or coming out the sky, and you take it on the volley.
Dan, can I come with a I can come with a recommendation of a great Norwegian who played for Swindon. Have a look at a goal. Fraser Digby is bound, is shooting the ball out, and this Norwegian take a ball in the air and making the same circle over the goalkeeper. Have a look at that, and then you know a volley, what a great volley wow. for the rest of your life.
Like Robin van Persie.
Look at my goal from the halfway line.
This is one
of the best goals ever.
Here's it simply. Goalkeepers kicking the ball out of their hands will either volley or half volley.
Yes.
That's it in its simplest form. Look at goalkeepers. Yeah. Stop trying to...
But Don, it can still bounce and be a volley. That's what gets me.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right, okay. I'm just not going to get it.
Go discuss it with Denise and see.
Yeah, good luck with that. Some other issues at the moment. Anyway, Heil, does Chelsea need to go back to a back four? We speak about this in the Thomas House all the time.
Denise send Denise in.
What does Denise think?
What's Denise's question?
Is Tuchel just hanging on to something that worked in the first 5 to 6 months? Even on a good day, the lack of attacking coherence is apparent here. Don?
No, they're a back five. They're a back five team. When you look at the personnel that they've got, Marcus Alonso cannot play as a regular left back. Reece James can on the right hand side, but he's a wing back as well. So Antonio Conte had it right when he turned them into a five. Sarri had it right when he played with a five as well. So you look at the personnel what Chelsea have got, I can't imagine them going any other way.
What was your least favourite training drill, exercise, and why, Jan? Volleys?
No, volleys. I had to train all the time to be the second best in the world.
Wow.
I was with Felix Magath. I mean, he is the maddest coach I've ever had. I had a coach before him. I was always last by running, and then he came. I had to be in front because we were running all the time, boys. You can't believe how much we were running.
Wow.
We're like 1.5 hours in the forest. I didn't like that. And but having said that, I didn't like these pass exercises where you stop thinking, where you're just in the exercise without thinking. You just do this because that is the drill. I don't like them either.
Right. Don, you were good at the ones where you didn't have to think.
I can remember me and Jan had a coach at Sheffield United called Willie Donaghy, and he was my absolute nemesis.
Wow.
The two of us hated each other. And he put on a drill one day, and it was the most alien drill for a footballer I've ever known. And still to this day, I've got no idea what the purpose of the drill was. And he put on an 11v11, but if you pass the ball to your left-hand side, you had to run to your right-hand side. And if you pass the ball forward, you would have to run backwards. And if you pass the ball backwards, you would have to run forwards. So I'm thinking, like, everything about what you know about the game, when I pass the ball forward into my front man, I want to go and join Jan. He would blow the whistle and go, foul, free kick to the opposite side.
Yeah,
and he had a massive, massive argument. And then years later, I went to Sunderland, and there was a physio called Mark Leather, who came from Liverpool. Amazing fella, great fella, but he loved his rugby. So he put this session on one day, and it was a 1v1. I was coming back from injury, and he put a rugby ball in his hand, and he went, right, Shaka would have loved it. And he went, right, Don, what I'm going to do is I'm going to volley this rugby ball along the floor, and when it bounces up, the last time it touches the floor, I want you to try and react and control it on your right foot, left foot, chest, wherever. And I've gone, I hate rugby. Like, this is just not going to be for me this session.
Wow.
Anyway, he's got the rugby ball and he's blasted it along the floor hard and low. And I'm like this, like thinking, like, which way is it going to go? Which way is it going to go? It bounced up, hit me on the nose and broke my nose.
That's bullshit.
Wow.
From the time you started, that's a broken nose waiting to happen.
It's quite a long story to get to a broken nose.
Well, I was interested with it. Yeah. I was interested in the story.
It's quite straight, though, Don, your nose, despite how many times you break it.
It's not bad. Twice.
That's all right. Oh, we got to move on, apparently. All right, then.
Nobody doesn't know about Don's nose.
Final point.
No, but I have to just give it to Will Donaghy, because Will Donaghy was that kind of manager. I remember we played Sunderland. I scored and made an assist, and he came on And he had a go with me because, Jan, you have scored a goal. You had one assist. Yeah. What else have you done?
Yeah.
I took off my shoes and I threw it at him. Yeah. I don't know if you remember that, Dom. But what a man.
Wow.
Yeah. Strange man.
Final question. We need to hear Don's side of the crocodile incident.
I don't know what this is.
So basically, so Stevie was saying that you were on tour in South Africa and he was in a golf cart with you and he turned a corner quite sharply. You fell out of the golf cart and almost fell in a lake full of crocodiles.
Oh. Really? Wow! I cannot remember this.
Oh, you were drunk.
I honestly can't remember this.
I feel like it was something you would remember.
I must have been hammered.
Well, I don't know. Stephen maybe was on the tipsy side as well and just didn't got you mistaken.
I wonder if he's got me. Yeah, he might have got mixed up with Don Matteo or.
I don't know, Don.
I don't remember that at all.
Oh, it's not like Stevie to forget things. Right, that is it. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for your tweets. We will be back tomorrow. We'll be focusing on Valencia against Barcelona. Plus, Craig will be here to give us his positive outlook on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's future.